The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
That this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying
dangerous.
That trans people exist by asking you if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant.
So
you are denying that trans people exist.
And that leads to violence. Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this?
You use the phrase unborn child in your most recent debate.
Pregnant inmates frequently face inhumane treatment that puts them and their unborn children in danger.
What does that phrase mean to you? You, Ms. Bass, you didn't use the words that were confusing, so I'm not going to yield to you.
It is my bill.
But you didn't use the words in description of it.
And guess why?
It was Ms. Ross who used those words.
Well,
and if I want to ask questions to Ms. Ross, she could choose whether or not to yield to give the answers. But you covering
but
for
you're
her,
not really interested
she doesn't know
in
the words she uses,
just
and cannot in the Judiciary Committee sit and answer the questions
you
on something as important
question.
As life or death it's when I control the time is outrageous.
Can we vote on the amendment, Mr. Chair?
I tell you what, Ms. Bass, reclaiming my time. We'll vote when we're well ready and when we're done answering our questions.
Oh, you chair the committee now?
No, we have rights in the minority to utilize time under the 5-minute rule to be able to offer our perspective on matters. And we're sorry if you all are in such a rush to kill unborn life that you're unwilling to answer our questions. But you know what? The good news is, with the Supreme Court we currently have, this is now a pro-life country.
Nice to see a little bit of backbone. It's not often that you see congressmen or senators. That's Senator Hawley and Congressman Matt Gaetz standing up to the heavy demonic influence that we see right at the top levels of government in the United States. That one woman, she teaches at, I think, Berkeley, by the way. She's a professor. The first one that asked Senator Hawley, do you believe that men can get pregnant? And he said, no, I don't. This is where we are. These are the fruits of modern education. These are the fruits of the communist infiltration of the United States of America, something Herbert Armstrong wrote about back in the 1950s. You can read all about it in our free booklet. He was right. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio. To get to the live video stream, however, you've got to go to our very own website. You can see it there at the lower third, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you to the live stream page. We bring you the live program in our beautiful Edmond studio every weekday morning here in the central time zone of the United States, 11 a.m. in Oklahoma, 12 noon on the East Coast, 9 a.m. out west. We've got quite a few emails that have come in over the last few days and coming actually from all over the world. I'm not sure if we'll get time for that today. We've got a lot to get into. It's a busy time for those of us here at God's headquarters campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. We've got our, as you know, we've got our summer educational program going on. Sam subbed in for me yesterday. He's also been helping me a little bit with the basketball program here at the SEP at the youth camp. My legs are holding up better than I thought that they would after two full days of standing, moving around there in our beautiful gymnasium, the John Amos Fieldhouse. The kids are having a wonderful time. The heat has been, to this point, pretty oppressive. There's quite a lot of drought, actually, in the entire region of Texas, Oklahoma. And so we're certainly praying earnestly that God would intervene to give us a break in the weather, a break in this heat wave, this triple-digit heat wave that's forecasted to go on for the next week or so. So you can certainly offer up some prayers on our behalf as well, or on behalf of our children, our young people, our teenagers, because quite a few of the sporting activities, of course, are outside. We're in the gym, which is nice and comfortable for basketball and volleyball. But for soccer, rugby, football, those kinds of things, softball, it's outside in the oppressive summer sun. So we're praying, as I say, for a break in the weather. I'll start here with a quote from America Under Attack. The new book, this is my photocopied version, but the printed version, that'll be out just in, a couple weeks now. We're at mid-July already. And just two or three weeks from now, we'll have America Under Attack in stock. If you want to get your advanced copy of this, of course, the online version is already available, and many of you have read it and couldn't stop reading it, as some of you have commented. But if you'd like to get in line for the print version, the toll-free number for those of you living in the U.S. and Canada and the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. This is a quote from the new book. It says, "When human beings reject God's truth, they start worshiping their own opinions." That's what you see on display in some of these congressional hearings. People that are just worshiping their own opinions. She thought she had Josh Hawley cornered by saying, "Well, do you believe men can have children?" This is what passes for not just normal, but scholarship. People are sending their children to university to sit in that woman's class. I guess she's a woman. This is at AUA. It says they start thinking like Satan. When this type of thinking becomes entrenched enough, people stop even caring about the difference between true and false. So Holly says here, when you talk about people that have a capacity for pregnancy, are you talking about women? Well, no, of course not. Of course we're not talking about just women. There's cis this and gender this and trans this and he or her or whatever this. It says people stop even caring about the difference between true and false. They start trying to magically create reality where no reality is. Do we see this happening today? Satan's broadcasts make us impervious to reason if we allow it. That's the world Satan wants. It says this influence has taken over America's political scene. It's taken over politics. It's taken over Washington, D.C. It really and truly is a swamp. I think Sam might have played those clips for you yesterday from John Bolton. Listen to what he said, just in passing, an interview with Jake Tapper over at CNN. And this is the former national security advisor for Donald Trump? This is clip four.
I don't know that I agree with you, to be fair, with all due respect. One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat,
yeah,
not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work. And that's not what he did.
He's trying to defend, on one hand, he's trying to defend Donald Trump by saying he wasn't smart enough to plan a coup d'etat. And then he's there saying, you know, I have done that. I've actually planned for a coup. Not in this country, but overseas. This is unbelievable. It just says it in passing. And notice the tone. He knows how you can pull off a coup. Donald Trump, of course, he's too dumb. Too dumb to pull off a coup. And John Bolton, he's God. I mean, he knows who's smart enough to do this, who's dumb, who's too dumb to pull off something like this. These people are so full of themselves, vanity, arrogance. They are worshiping their own will. And who's influencing that will? Listen again to Mr. Bolton from just this week, clip 7.
I do want to ask a follow-up. When we were talking about what is capable, what you need to do to be able to plan a coup, and you cited your expertise having planned coups.
I'm not going to get into the specifics, but...
Successful coups?
Well, I wrote about Venezuela in the book, and it turned out not to be successful. Not that we had all that much to do with it, but I saw what it took for an opposition to try and overturn an illegally elected president, and they failed. The notion that Donald Trump was half as competent as the Venezuelan opposition is laughable. But I think there's another...
I feel like you're this other stuff you're not telling me, though.
I'm sure there is.
No, I'm sure there is, yeah. I've been involved in lots of coup d'etats. Oh, yes. Yes. And just so that you know, to bring out a little bit of recent history, to tie it in with Trump, you've got the illegally elected administration in Venezuela. Then you've got the opposition down here that tried to overturn it. They were unsuccessful. And then you've got Donald Trump down here, below the Venezuelan opposition party. Not even half as competent as the Venezuelans. He worked for Donald Trump. John Bolton. He knows. I mean, he knows who's where. He knows who's intellectually capable of doing this or that. This is unbelievable. This is just in a casual exchange on CNN. And here we've got these reports this week. We're sending billions more over to Ukraine for what? Well, to pay salaries. Make Ukraine great again. I guess that's the policy of the Biden people. We got to do anything. How long? How long are you going to resist against Putin? As long as it takes. Even if it grinds the U.S. economy to a halt. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, and by the way, we're going to send over billions to pay their salaries. I mean, they just know. They know this is what you do to fix Ukraine. This is what you do to stage a successful coup. Donald Trump comes along and says, this is a nightmare. These people are deranged. This is a swamp. And he's the one that gets censored. He's the one that gets blotted out. Well, I'm going to get too far ahead of myself. But what do you do if you don't stand against this? If you don't stand up to it and show some courage and some strength and some backbone, they'll just roll right over you. No problem. They'll roll. It's a deep state. They'll crush you. You try to resist it at all, and they will come after you. Every single one of them. Republican, Democrat alike. This is 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. Well, I don't actually have the verse, but Paul there says, look, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Think on Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Think on Revelation 12 and verse 9. There's a verse in Revelation 2 that talks about the depths of Satan. Wow. Ephesians 6 says that we're going up against the wiles of the devil. We really and truly are wrestling against rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a lot of wickedness coming out of high places in the world today. Look at what is happening to our nations. America Under Attack says there's a definite reason why masses of people have done and are doing insane things. How do you explain all of this insanity? How do you explain all of these insane statements? They talk about an illegally appointed or elected individual in Venezuela, and then in the same sentence sometimes talk about how, well, it's impossible. It's impossible to happen here in the United States. Who can forget Barack Obama before the election of 2016? There is no way. There is no way that an election could ever be stolen. And then as soon as Donald Trump pulled off the miracle victory, of course it was stolen. The Russians helped him. And then they went after Donald Trump for 4 years. They still are going after him, trying to destroy him. Impeachment 1, impeachment 2, impeachment 3, and on and on and on it goes. It says here, it stems from people trusting their own will, relying on and exalting their emotions, urges, and even reasonings, rather than submitting to God's will. If we stop submitting to the will of God, and you want to look at the perfect example of one who did that, go back and read what Jesus Christ prayed the night before his crucifixion. I don't really want to go through this. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. When we stop fulfilling the will of God, then we open ourselves up to heavy, heavy influence coming from the devil. He's the god of this world. It says here, Paul reveals what happens when you worship the human will. It leads to worshiping demons. That's Colossians 2. You can go and study that later. It says, that's because the human mind is so vulnerable to the broadcasting, deception, and influence of the prince of the power of the air. And you listen to some of these deep staters. You listen to some of these commentators. I mean, it's as you say, the tone, just the tone alone speaks volumes. These people don't think that they could get anything wrong. There's not one ounce of humility in their reasoning. They're so full of themselves. It says here, that's because the human mind is so vulnerable. Well, I read that. It says, this is especially true of a mind full of vanity. See, Satan's mind is full of vanity. Full of vanity. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about the leaven of intellectualism and how that it's so much more difficult for God to reach the scholarly mind. Read 1 Corinthians 1 about the wisdom of this world. God sees it as foolishness. You mean we're really having a discussion inside the halls of Congress about whether or not a man can have a baby? Is that where we are? Is this what we need to? We need to send our representatives to Congress so that we can figure out what a woman is and whether or not a man can have a baby. What do you mean, unborn child? And that just triggers an argument. Forget about it. Forget about unborn child. Let's just pass the amendment. Just shut up and pass the amendment. Good for Matt Gaetz to stand up to this demonic nonsense. Wait a minute, you said unborn child? What is an unborn child? Isn't that a life? They can't stand it. They can't stand being exposed. They hate it when someone shows a backbone to stand against it because they're used to intimidating. They're used to imposing their will on others. And they've been getting away with it for so long that they just get furious. They blow a gasket if someone calls them, if someone actually stands up against it. As I say, not that many people do. The New York Times came out with a story this week defending Ray Epps. Remember Ray Epps? Let's go to the Capitol. That's where our problems are, in the Capitol. The New York Times came out with a story this week saying Ray Epps, essentially, Ray Epps is a victim. And this after all these victims rotting away in jail for months, for over a year. Here comes the New York Times. They love Ray Epps. They hate the other ones that said, let's go to the Capitol. Let's protest at the Capitol. But here Ray Epps is on video. You can't have it both ways. You see, what they want, of course, is to sever this connection between Ray Epps and the FBI and the DOJ, because they know that the FBI and the DOJ were there inciting the violence. What little violence there was. It just suspended activities in the halls of Congress for 4 hours. And then, after that, senators, congressmen, including ones from Oklahoma, just surrendered to the mob. The real mob. The media mob. The Democrat mob. That said, you stop talking about the election steal of November 3rd. And they did. They did. They just quietly moved on, and Mike Pence put the rubber stamp on it, and we're all supposed to move forward. No opportunity for dissent. They should have stood up to the mob, like these two members of Congress have done this week, to this heavy, heavy demonic influence. If you don't stand up to it, they just roll right over you like a bulldozer. How could you possibly come out with a puff piece to defend Ray Epps? Well, this is another point my father makes in America Under Attack. He says Satan knows that if he makes it complicated enough to require deep study to understand it, most people won't dig into it, and he can deceive them. Now, that was a point made with respect to the Mueller investigation, the Mueller report and all that. And he know, I mean, these reports go on for hundreds and hundreds of pages, and most people don't follow the daily news cycle like our staff does with this program. They just kind of read little bits and pieces here and there. And, you know, if it's too complicated, then they just move on. They just forget about it. And that's how Satan can so easily deceive them. Look at this montage. This is Ray Epps not trying to conceal anything. What's amazing about this is just how overt it is. Here's what we're here to do. This is the direction we're going. That's where our problems are. And somehow, Ray Epps never once indicted, not arrested. Now he's living in retirement at the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And talking to the New York Times this week about how much of a trial that is. A trial to actually live your life in freedom here in the United States of America. Here's clip 5.
Tomorrow, we need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
What?
No! Peacefully! Fed! Tomorrow? I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested.
Well, let's not say it.
We need to go. I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go in.
Monument Hill.
The president is not speaking. We are going to the Capitol, where our problems are. It's that direction. Please spread the word.
All right. No,
okay, but one more thing.
Yeah, so can we go up there? No?
When we go in.
Are we going to get arrested if we go up
here.
There?
Yeah. You don't need to get shot.
Can you arrest us all?
He urged the mob to go inside the Capitol, and nearly 1,000 of them that did were arrested. They're in jail. And many of them that just went in for a few minutes. In and out, few minutes, took a selfie. And they're a dangerous threat to society. So says the DOJ. So says so many of these radical communist judges. This is a story from Boise, Idaho. It says here, a Boise woman who participated in the January 6, 2021 siege at the Capitol. You notice, again, the angle that this news media outlet comes from. It was a siege! Oh, yes. Siege at the Capitol will serve 2 months in jail and 3 years probation as part of a plea agreement with federal prosecutors. 2 months in prison for walking through an open door and staying in the Capitol for 9 minutes. For 9 minutes. This woman has cancer, and I believe she's 69 years old. A 69-year-old grandmother sent to prison. This was part of the plea deal. This is the only thing that would have made prosecutors and this radical judge happy. No, there's no slap on the wrist for her. There's no probation. There's no house arrest. Certainly no house arrest. Send her to prison. Yeah, send her to prison. Senior Judge Roy Lambert of the U.S. District Court of District of Columbia. Here's Washington, D.C. Here's the swamp. On Tuesday, sentenced Pamela Hempel for one misdemeanor count of demonstrating, parading, or picketing in the U.S. Capitol building. One misdemeanor for demonstrating, parading, or picketing. No burning, no looting, no robbing, no stealing, no weapons, none of that. She was parading, and now she's going to prison. Says here, in addition, well, she's also got a fine. Let me just go through some. This is from some of the court filings. Here's what she did, Ms. Hempel. It says, upon reaching the steps of the Capitol building, Hempel was again at the front of the group of rioters who pushed through the second police line, attempting to keep rioters from ascending the steps. It says, Hempel fell to her knees as the rioters pushed through and was helped up by law enforcement. Law enforcement officers assisted her to the side of the steps, but Hempel refused to leave the steps when instructed to do so. She didn't leave the crowd. And this is serious. I mean, in this protest, this is a serious crime. The police officer said, hey, you better leave the crowd here. And she didn't do it. She's going to prison. She's going to prison. That's right. Hempel remained at the steps of the Capitol for at least 20 minutes while protesters streamed by, making no effort to distance herself from the mob. This is part of the court proceedings. Yeah, Your Honor, she didn't make any effort to disassociate herself from the mob. At approximately 3:01 on January 6, Hempel voluntarily entered the Capitol building through the East Rotunda doors along with other rioters. Hempel claimed her progress into the Capitol building and through the rotunda with her cellular phone. Not claimed, she videotaped it. I'm missing part of the margin here, sorry. So I'm having to hopefully guesstimate what it says. She went in at 3:01. She recorded this on her phone, and she left. Do you know when she left? At 3:10. She left at 3:10 in the afternoon. And yesterday she turned herself in at some state penitentiary in California. Here she is before going into the California prison system. Clip 6.
Mom, how do you feel? You're here.
I'm scared to death. I'm frightened. But I know God's with me. I just got to take it 5 minutes at a time, one day at a time.
Mom, what do you have to say to the American people as your last words before you go in?
Just keep your faith that no matter what's going on in your life, God's with us. No matter what's happening to us, it's going to be okay in our lives. So just lean on God and trust.
Do what's right.
Do what's right and help make this country better again and support all those that are right now locked up in the January 6th people that are not getting any trials.
The fake president's Department of Justice is doing everything in its power, and it has an awesome amount of power. It's doing everything that it can to destroy the lives of any Trump supporter that was anywhere near the Capitol on January 6th, except for Ray Epps. the very one on video multiple times saying, let's go in there. That's where our trouble is. And this week, the New York Times says, you know, the real victim in all of this, it's not that woman. It's not the woman with the 69-year-old grandmother with cancer. No, it's not her. She should go to prison. But Ray Epps, he's the victim. The New York Times headline, it's just been hell, life as the victim of a January 6th conspiracy theory. Ray Epps became the unwitting face of an attempt by pro-Trump forces to promote the baseless idea that the FBI was behind the attack on the Capitol. Well, that's been thoroughly proven. All the infiltrators, all the informants, the FBI itself has admitted as much. Of course we had people all through the crowd. And I guess the New York Times doesn't think it's a problem at all for Ray Epps to be there with that other Antifa guy. And he's right on the front line when the gate first comes down. Whispering into individuals' ears. And on the wanted list at the FBI, and then mysteriously in those first few crucial months after Jan 6, then he just disappears from the wanted list. And he's never heard from again until this week. Now, the New York Times now is there to tell us he's the victim? This has got to be, I mean, this is like straight out of communist propaganda in North Korea or China. Or Russia. An Orwellian story, if ever there was one. The story says Ray Epps has suffered enormously in the past 10 months as right-wing media figures and Republican politicians have baselessly described him as a covert government agent who helped to instigate the attack on the Capitol last year. Strangers have assailed him as a coward and a traitor and have menacingly caught him to sleep. Or cautioned him, rather, to sleep with one eye open. Oh, he's getting threats. Meanwhile, people like 69-year-old grandmothers are going off to prison as we speak. And yet Ray Epps is the victim. Is the New York Times pro-American? Donald Trump said the other day, they are the enemy of the people. He's right. He's right. They have been cheerleading the DOJ, the biggest investigation in DOJ history. They have been cheerleading these people that have been waiting in jail for months just for a trial or to just try to get on with their lives. They come out with this plea bargain that says, okay, I'll admit to the one misdemeanor. I walked into Congress for 9 minutes. The door was wide open. Off to jail, off to prison. 2 months in the slammer. He was forced to sell his business. This is Ray Epps. He was forced to sell his business and his home in Arizona, fearing for his safety and uncertain of his future. He and his wife moved into a mobile home in the foothills of the Rockies. I mean, this sounds pretty nice to me. Beautiful Rocky Mountains. Considering he was leading the insurrection, it's an insurrection, right? It's a siege. And he led the siege, or he was certainly one of them. And he's able to live in the foothills of the Rockies with his wife, his family. And the New York Times, as I say, in true Orwellian fashion, is there to tell you he's a victim. He's really suffered. He's really suffering, Ray Epps. It says here, his belongings crammed into shipping containers in a high desert meadow a mile or two away. And for what? Lies? Mr. Epps asked the other day with a look of pained exhaustion. All of this, he goes on and talks about just how horrible, horrible it has been since January 6th. The article talks about how that he evidently called the FBI days after the January 6th protest. It says here, the FBI has repeatedly declined to comment on Mr. Epps, but his account of calling the operations center and of sitting down for a formal discussion with federal agents in March of 2021 is backed by transcripts reviewed by the New York Times. The interview transcripts show that Mr. Epps told agents that he had spent much of his time at the Capitol seeking to calm down other rioters. Wait a second. This is in the New York Times. I suppose the journalist wrote it with a straight face. He had spent much of his time at the Capitol seeking to calm down other rioters, an assertion supported by multiple video clips. Wow. So the New York Times, your eyes do not count in this narrative. What you see on video, never mind that. The New York Times says there's video of him trying to calm people down. He was a peacemaker, Ray Epps. One of the moments Mr. Epps said he regrets most from his stay in Washington took place the night before the Capitol attack, when he joined his son and a friend for a pro-Trump rally at Black Lives Matter Plaza. During the event, he was videotaped by a right-wing provocateur encouraging people to go inside the Capitol on January 6th. So the problem is the right-wing provocateur, not what Ray Epps said. Well, I mean, he does express a little bit of regret for having said that. And the New York Times senses the contrition on the part of Mr. Epps. For sure. He's a victim now. He's been persecuted. Somebody's made a threat against his life. Told him to sleep with one eye open. So he's off to the Colorado Rocky Mountains. Says here, the clip has been used to depict Mr. Epps as a man who not only urged people to riot at the Capitol, but also then evaded prosecution. The Justice Department has not publicly addressed its decision not to charge him, but the legal definition of incitement requires a person's words to cause an immediate threat of danger, not one that could possibly occur the following day. Okay, so, well, Donald Trump's speech, now that's incitement. That's the textbook definition of incitement. But Ray Epps saying, let's go into the Capitol, that's not incitement, because I guess it was a few hours too early. It was the day. It was the evening before. So that's fine. That's fine, says the New York Times. The New York Times! Mr. Epps also said he regretted sending a text to his nephew well after the violence had erupted, in which he discussed how he helped to orchestrate the movements of people who were leaving Mr. Trump's speech near the White House by pointing them in the direction of the Capitol. I mean, you can't make this up. You just can't. The New York Times is reporting all of this with a straight face. Well, there are a couple of beefs that the right-wing provocateurs can have here, I suppose. But look, he's expressed regret. What about the 850 that are going off to jail or prison? Or these plea deals where they're profusely apologizing to the judge? Look, I'm sorry. The door was open. I went in for 9 minutes. Nevertheless, doesn't matter. You're going to the slammer. And the New York Times cheers them on. Cheers on the DOJ in every single case, except for the case of Ray Epps. Another quote from the New York Times. It says, Mr. Epps also said he regretted sending text to his nephew. Well, I just read that for you. This text that said what? That he helped to orchestrate. I mean, that sounds like he was planning this. Now, they say Donald Trump was planning the siege or the insurrection. Here Epps admits it in a text message. But he gets off scot-free. He's the victim here. He's the one being persecuted. As I say, you can't make this up. Here's Donald Trump from 2 days ago. The failing New York Times is down 40% year-to-date because they are fake news, their reporters are dishonest, and their front page has become a work of total fiction. They hate our country, and they hate reporting the truth, which is why America is not protected and our nation has never been weaker. Instead, they obsess over January 6th, just like they did over Impeachment Hoax 1, Impeachment Hoax 2, the Mueller witch hunt, and Russia, Russia, Russia. The New York Times will continue to decline because people no longer believe their reporting is even close to being true. It says fake polls, phony stories, and made-up quotes. They are a disgrace to journalism and have set it back many, many years. The New York Times is truly the enemy of the people. So who's right? Who do you believe? The New York Times or what Donald Trump said yesterday through Truth Social? Because he can't put that on Twitter. He can't say anything like that on Twitter. He can't say it on YouTube or anything associated with Google. He's blotted out. Straight off, it's just leaping off the pages of 2 Kings 14. Satan's goal, to blot out even the name of Israel. And but for God's intervention, that's exactly what would happen. I mean, look at the demonic influence. And furthermore, look at what happens when you don't stand up to it, when you don't stand against it. Satan gets the advantage. Satan and all of his devices, the wiles of the devil, the prince of the power of the air. We better stand strong. Of course, the Bible gives us the formula. Draw near to God. Draw near to God the Father and resist against the devil. Resist him. Fight against him. Go on the offensive even. And he will flee from you with God's help, with God's power. Then certainly will overwhelm the devil and his demon army, because Satan is no match for God. But when we're off to ourselves, submitting just to our own will, not God's, think about how vulnerable we are, coming back to the nation and the attack that it's under. Listen to this from Fox News. This is Bill Malugin reporting down at the southern border earlier this week, clip 8.
Take a look at this video. Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of migrants crossing in broad daylight. One of the biggest, if not the biggest, single groups we have ever seen crossing illegally. This was a clear example of a cartel smuggling operation. All of these people in a long single line being walked across the river by multiple cartel guides or scouts. Again, in the middle of the day, in these blistering summer temperatures, most of these folks from Venezuela, Cuba, and Colombia.
Most of them from Central South America, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Shows the long line of them. I think if you look close enough, you can see Djokovic in there carrying a big bag of tennis rackets. He just has to get into the country, and then he can play. I mean, it's just the travel restriction coming in on a plane, I guess. Hundreds upon hundreds, and they're all men that are about the age of Novak Djokovic. If you can believe it. Look at the next clip, number 9.
Take a look at this video we shot late yesterday afternoon, also here in Eagle Pass, just down the road at a private orchard where a large group of several hundred migrants crossed illegally as well, predominantly single adult men, again from Venezuela, Cuba, and Colombia.
Single adult men from Venezuela, Cuba, and Colombia? Yeah, they're just streaming in. This is Eagle Pass down in southern Texas. It's at about 2,000 to 3,000 coming in per day. At that one location, 2,000 to 3,000. That I mentioned that story of the rape victim in Ohio and the radical left that came right out immediately, even when we didn't know any details about the case, whether or not it was even true. Well, now you can see why. They didn't reveal any of the details because the one guilty of rape is a 27-year-old illegal alien. And then you get into the story. Still, we don't know all the details. We don't know, not that we need to know about the 10-year-old and her family, but if they're illegals too, and this is what we're just opening up to our country, letting that sort of heinous activity just cross right across the border. Novak can't come in, but all of these individuals can. No problem. Not tested, not vaccinated, not boosted, doesn't matter. Just let them come in. Let the cartels bring them in by the hundreds, by the thousands. But make sure we clamp down on the fittest athlete in the world. He's not coming to New York. It's too dangerous. Look at these baseball players. They can't even go up to Toronto because of Canada's craziness. I mean, the devils, the demons are just having a party in our nations. And good for those Major League Baseball players that have said, I'm not going to let Canada tell. And of course, the commentator is just like the one that sat down with Novak a while back. Well, aren't you letting your team down? Trying to make the guy who says, I'm not going to Toronto. I'm not getting the vaccine. And good for him. I don't know who it is. I forget his name. But he very politely said, I'm not going to let Canada tell me what to put in my body. You don't hear too many, as I said at the very top, you don't hear too many voices today willing to stand up to this demonic avalanche. It's just steamrolling across our nations. 27 years old, rapes a little girl. She goes across state lines with her family. We don't know anything about her family. She could have gotten the abortion we now know in Ohio or wherever. But these people are so obsessed, as you heard in the opening montage, with killing the unborn. They're so obsessed with killing life in that case. And then they let all of these unbelievable crimes and atrocities just go on a daily basis. The story is the state line and the abortion rights. Certainly not the rape or the illegals we're letting stream into the country. You can expect that story to go away, by the way, because it involves an illegal alien, and well, that's a touchy subject. We just have to let all of them in. I mean, when the narratives kind of crisscross, then we've got to kind of navigate our way through. We're standing for women as soon as Roe v. Wade is overturned. Well, what exact 2 seconds ago you told us you didn't even know what a woman was. And then here they are trying to parse the language. Now, when you say someone capable of pregnancy, do you mean a woman? Oh, well, certainly not. What? Are you saying that a man can't have a baby? Well, yeah, actually, I am saying that. What? When you talk about an unborn child, what are you talking about specifically? Don't go there. Let's just push the amendment through. If this doesn't strengthen your resolve to stand for the truth, what was it my father said in that opening quote that I gave to you? This is America under attack. When human beings reject God's truth, they start worshiping their own opinions. They start thinking like Satan. When this type of thinking becomes entrenched enough, people stop even caring about the difference between true and false. They start trying to magically create reality where no reality is. That's what we're living in, a truly upside-down world, for sure. I'll forego the promo or the break and just launch right into a few emails that have come in the last few days. This one from Fiji. It says, greetings and bula from Fiji. That's what they say as a greeting over there. Beautiful, beautiful island, beautiful people. Bula, Mr. Fleury. Greetings and bula from Fiji. As I saw the James Webb Space Telescope images, I couldn't help but think of James 1, verses 17 and 18, about the Father of Lights, and also Psalm 8, 3 and 4. As always, thank you all, and God bless. Another one here says, just wanted to say I've been in God's church since 1967, and Mr. Stephen Fleury's program today, I guess this would be Tuesdays, where we talked about the universe and some of those images coming in from James Webb. The program today stands out as one of the most inspiring ever. Our future is truly awesome. Thank you so much. Well, we certainly appreciate your encouragement as well. Another one says here, we appreciate you. Can't live without watching your TV program and the Key of David and the Trumpet Daily, or I guess both of them. So very uplifting in this crazy mixed up world. Thank you. Another one here says, cheers for Novak. Rafa's best days may be behind him. That's, I guess, his top competitor. I think COVID was the greatest crime ever. Obama predicted there would be a pandemic, so he knew something. Fauci knew as well with his gain of function or gain of dysfunction studies, as he calls it. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We went through that a little bit earlier on today's show as well. This one coming in from Texas says, how majestic and marvelous is God's universe, his heavens, his space. Before viewing some of those spectacular James Webb images and now knowing that God has plans for each and every one of his potential sons to occupy, beautify, and create within his heavens, I was wondering if there would be enough space for a possible million, billions of sons, being that even the heavens can't contain God himself. However, after seeing some of these James Webb images, one can see that there should be plenty of God's heavenly real estate for all. It says, keep up the wonderful work you're doing there at the TD. Every time I hear something in the daily news, which is happening with more speed, I can't wait to tune in to the Trumpet Daily to understand how those news events are tied into God's prophecies. This one here from our faithful listener in Abu Dhabi, there in the Middle East. It says, Tuesday's TD was the best ever, leading with the best ever images of the universe and the best ever presentation of God's purpose and plan, both in breadth and depth, and for young, old, and everyone in between. It says, of the incredible human potential described by Herbert Armstrong and as universe beings by Gerald Fleury. He says here, regarding who benefited from coronavirus, you gave an incredible recap of the plan by the communists, both within and without, to steal the 2020 election, combining your father's newly expanded America Under Attack with your own spot-on recollection of facts in chronological order. It says, this is the best ever executive summary on the truth about coronavirus. This one here comes in from Louisiana. It says, seeing those images brought tears to my eyes. How incredibly awesome is God? Being a first fruit for almost 15 years is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I had printed an 11x14 print, which I will have framed to meditate on. I guess a print of some of these universe images that I will have framed to meditate on if I ever feel discouraged. I can see our future, at least a speck of it. Finishing God's work and, of course, overcoming daily is the most important thing in my life. Even after almost 15 years, I'm still in awe that the Father called me out of this sick, satanic world to be part of his family forever. That's from Louisiana. This one comes in response to Samuel's program yesterday. Thank you, Mr. Livingston, for stirring our minds and sparking our imagination with your presentation of today's program. What an indescribably sick, perverted, and seriously demented world we are enduring today. There are no words to adequately describe the putrid evil of this present evil world, Satan's world. It says, praise and glory to our great Creator who gives us the awesome universe to renew to its former glory. I should just add here, we had our etiquette dinner last night, this beautiful formal occasion for all of our campers, our teenagers, and during the table topic session, what an uplifting, inspiring session that was to hear from God's young people and to just see how active their minds are and how aware they are of God's purpose and plan, of God's truth. Maybe I can talk more about that one tomorrow. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email us, send a message to td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.